Right. Okay. So we're looking on page 123, 124, and it's chapter 29. Let's see. Chapter 29 in the first part of Tanya. Right. Oidachas. Now there's a further point. Sorech l'shis eis tzois. We have to give advice and give counsel. But nafshos habeninim in the for the souls of.
Sorry, just ended up the tea to the cook. There you go.
Yes, I'm with you here.
For the souls of the beninim. Asher lefamim ve'itim rabim. That's many times. Yesh lahem timtum halev. They have what's called timtum halev. In other words, their heart is blocked up. Shenase ke'even. It becomes like a stone. They're not able to feel. Imagine a person in such a mood that their heart cannot feel. V'lo yochol liftoyach liboi. And he or she is not able to open his heart. B'shum oifen, in any way, la'avoyde shebelev, for service of the heart, zutfilo, which means particularly davening, just can't feel any emotion. There is the point when a person is davening, is praying to Hashem, and you would like to feel some kind of feeling towards Hashem. But at this particular moment, the person's heart is completely blocked. V'gam lefamim, and also sometimes, lo yuchol lehilochim imayetzah. He's not able to cope with his evil desire. Lekadish atzmoy b'mutoloy. Now there is a concept of sanctifying ourselves with that which is permitted to us. In other words, doing something a little bit extra, keeping a little extra guard, as it were, and that needs some kind of enthusiasm. You need a little bit of zest in order to do it. It's very interesting to do. You see, people can fulfill the minimal level of Yiddishkeit, but in order to do something a little bit more than the minimum, you have to be in the mood. You have to be like souped up in the right way. And so this is something that the person isn't able to do. Mipnei kvedus shebeliboy. Because of the heaviness in his heart. Right. So there we have a heaviness in a person's heart. As a result of that, he's not able to be enthusiastic in davening. And he's not able to be positive and inspired in any way in other aspects of Yiddishkeit, which would lead him or her to go a little step forward more than the absolute minimum. Of course, sometimes it might be that his minimum is already something out of his ordinary custom. You see, in other words, it's whatever is the lowest level that the person is ready, the concession, as it were, they're ready to make to Yiddishkeit. So you need a little bit of oomph inside you to go a little bit further. And this person hasn't got this oomph.
Need some of my soup.
That's right. So there you have this spiritual problem. So now what is Rabbi Shneur Zalman going to suggest? This is the advice which is suggested. B'zoya HaKadosh in the Holy Zohar. The Omer Rav Masiftet began Eden. Because the head of the yeshiva said in the Garden of Eden, Oh, the Loi Salik Bein. Now we're going over the page. A piece of wood, like a big log of wood. The loy solik bein ahoira, that the flame is not burning in the log of wood. If you remember what it's like having a big log of wood on your log fire. Mavachinle, you push it, you prod it with the poker. Remember that? back in the
50s. That's the old days when we had open fire. That's cold.
None of us were here.
When we had a coal fire, we had to prod it to make it burn.
That's right.
We weren't here in the 50s.
Even
in the 60s.
Yeah, that's
right. Speak for yourself.
We had coal fire, lovely coal fire.
So there we prod the wood with the poker, and that's the way we get it burning. Gufa de lo sarik bein ahoira. Now a person in whom the flame, the hoira din nishmosa, the flame of the soul is not shining in the person, mevachin le. Now we give a prod to the person. So what does that mean, this prod? First of all, let's see what it means, the light of the neshama. Perish nahoyrid and neshmosa, the light of the neshama means sha'or ha-neshama v'ha-seichel, that the light of the soul and the mind eino me'er kol kach, doesn't shine so much limshoil al-chumriya shebeguf, to control the physicality of the body. Even though he understands, even though he thinks, he contemplates even, besichlo, in his mind, is like a serious person, and he is thinking about bigdulas Hashem, the greatness of God, einoi nitpas v'nitbak b'moichoi, it doesn't stick, doesn't cleave in his mind kol kach, so much. It doesn't have such an effect on him. He's able to think the idea, but it doesn't actually resonate. Sheyuchal limshol al chumyus halev, that he should be able through that to control the materiality, the heaviness of his heart. Machmas chumriyuson v'gasuson, because at this moment his heart is very material and very coarse. Now, what's the difference between coarse and fine? Coarse means insensitive, and fine means it's delicate, it's more sensitive. So the problem is, we can get into a mode where we don't feel, we don't respond to something spiritual. V'hasibahi, and the reason for this is gasus haklipa, the coarseness of the shell, shemagbi atzma, which raises itself, al or kedushas nefesh elokis, over the holiness, the radiance of the holiness of the divine soul, umasteres umachshicha oira, and it conceals and hides the light of the divine soul. So in other words, we have this problem, that there is a possibility of a kind of coarse veil surrounding our hearts and stopping us from feeling in a spiritual way. And because of that, we're weighed down with materialist concerns and anxieties, and we just can't get out of that. It's very hard for us to get out of that. We try to think about something spiritual. We try to read the words of the prayer, we might try to do other things, but it just weighs down on us, and we are not able to feel that zest, that step forward that we need to have in relation to Hashem.
Right. People that haven't got the feeling in their heart, they won't even recourse to saying a prayer.
That's a very good point.
It's difficult when
if you're not even able to say a prayer, so your heart is indeed totally hardened. And there are some people that cannot say that of that prayer.
You're right.
They may be good people. Not sitting in judgment, they may be good people, and they may not want to be anything but Jewish, but they can't feel that there's something to be done at all.
Right. Okay, and what were you going to say?
Or they don't want to.
No, they don't want
to. They don't want to, what? They don't want to feel.
No, pray.
Pray. What, you mean they decide they don't want to pray?
They don't believe in it all.
All right, now you see, it's a very interesting thing, because you can have a lifestyle pattern that every day you pray. Now, sometimes that prayer may be inspired, and sometimes it's not. But nonetheless, You pray because you get up in the morning, you have to thank Hashem.
Yes.
And so you have a little routine, a pattern.
Exactly.
That you say this blessing and that blessing, and you say the Shema, and you say the Amida. And so by doing that, you're in a certain pattern. Now that is a very, very positive thing, because it gives the person a structure. In that structure, we can then try to invest a little bit more feeling, a little bit more spirituality, and it's basically up to us. Sometimes it's more difficult, like he's talking about a time when it's more difficult, and sometimes it's more easy, sometimes it's easier. But if one hasn't got the pattern that one is going to pray every day, if we only pray, if we only daven when we're inspired, then we have a bigger problem, as you say. Because if the person's not inspired, so today he doesn't daven. Then tomorrow again he's not inspired, so again he doesn't daven. So he gets, it's very easy for subtle and delicate and spiritual things to get completely pushed to the side of our consciousness.
That's right.
Of our consciousness. Because there are so many more pressing things in material life. I've got to get to work, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to pay bills.
Or I don't feel well today.
That's right, I start worrying about how I feel.
That's absolutely.
Now, if we are able, just the same way that we get up in the morning, at some point we're going to eat something during the day. We're not going to go the whole day without eating something. Because there's something in our body which prompts us and says, hey, you're hungry. So sometimes we're not so conscious that we're hungry, but we say, I better eat, even though I don't feel hungry, because otherwise I know it won't be good for me. I don't feel like eating, but I better make myself eat. You know that mm-hmm. feeling? Yeah. So the same way, see, there's a problem that we don't, some people do, but generally, we don't thirst for praying in the same way that we thirst for water, or we are hungry for food, or we are tired, so we sleep. Now, some people have great problems about sleeping. They mm. can't sleep. They're insomniac, mm. and sleep is not an easy matter. But in general, a person goes through a certain amount of effort during the day. They feel tired in the evening, the late evening, the night, they go to sleep. Similarly, they go a certain number of hours, they feel hungry, they eat something. So there's actually a song. The song goes like this. It's in Yiddish. Essen, esst sich. Eating eats by itself. In other words, you get prompted to eat. Trinken, trinkt sich.
Yeah.
Drinking, it drinks by itself. Vosalmaton, as es davent sich nicht. What should we do that davening doesn't happen by itself?
No.
You have to make yourself daven. You've got to get into a pattern, or you've got to, at that moment, you've got to say to yourself, look, it's time for me to daven. I'm going to daven shachris, so I'm going to daven.
Sorry. Is it wrong?
Now the point is that it's right to daven in a regular way, and that becomes a habit. We have good habits, and davening is a good habit to have. Then it's true that our mitzvahs should not be just habit, but you start off that at least it's something regular built into one's timetable, and then we try to put extra feeling into that. It's like a musician playing a piece of music. So the musician sits down at the piano and he's going to play this sonata. So is he going to put feeling into it or not? And that's the thing. We're going to say the words of the davening. Are we going to put feeling? Are we going to put our soul into it? So we're going to try and do that. So if we've got the structure, the pattern, that there it is, it's a particular time of day that we're going to daven, and we daven, that's a wonderful thing. Right? Now, so ulazois, you've got that at the end of the line, and therefore tzorich levadsho lashpila laofa. We have to try and get this clipper, this negative shell, which hides over our inner spirituality. We've got to try and make it transparent. He puts it here, we've got to bring it down to the dust, which is a way of saying, if I could interpret it this way, we've got to make our ego feel humble, like the dust. And when we do that, then it's transparent.
Yeah, how humble can we be?
We can be very
humble. We've all got an ego, haven't we?
Well, the question is what we're going to use the ego for. Do you drive?
Yeah.
Well, you need an ego in order to turn right at a crossing.
Yes. Yes.
Otherwise, you'll be waiting there 3 hours while all the cars
right.
go by.
That's true, yeah.
So you need an ego. But there are other things that the less ego we have, the better. In relation to Hashem, there's a kind of a sense... Well, it's very interesting. It's two different things. On the one hand, there's a kind of transparency and a humility like a little grain of dust. Little grain of dust in a huge universe.
Feeling we're worthy, that's part of our ego, isn't it?
Well, now then comes an interesting thing. We have to be someone in order to daven to Hashem. In order to say words to Hashem, Baruch Ato Hashem, blessed are you, O God, there's a sense in which it has to be someone there who's saying the words. Now, who is there? You know who's there? The divine soul is there. Mm-hmm. We can say we release our material self so that our spiritual self becomes more dominant. That's the trick that we're trying to achieve, that we're able to make one part of ourselves dissolve away temporarily so that the other part of ourselves expresses itself in full force. And that is, now let's see how he puts it over here, and that means the hainu likpa itim, that means to fix times, lahashpil atzmai, to make himself feel low, the yois nivsa be'ein of nimos, that anything that God doesn't like should be loathsome in our eyes, kakosov, as it says, ve'lev nishvar, ruach nishvara, a broken heart, a contrite spirit, hi asitra achra, that's the negative force, the force of negativity, shehi hi ha'odam atzva be'beinanim, and that is the person in the beinani. In the ordinary person, I mean, a Beinoni is not an ordinary person, but even in a Beinoni, the person himself is this animal soul. When we say I, it's the animal soul. If we can get beyond that to the divine soul, if we could somehow go beyond that I, we get to a spiritual dimension. That spiritual dimension, that but takes over. So, because the vital soul, the animal soul which gives life to the body, she is just as strong, this animal soul is just as strong in his heart as it ever was when he was born. And so therefore, that is the actual person. The person is, when we say I, that is the animal soul. That's a rather shocking statement.
That's our ego.
Yes, that's our ego. I is the ego. But when we're talking about the divine soul inside us, there's a blessing we say in the morning, Elokai, my God, the soul which you have given me is pure. Shenasata bi daika. And look at those words. The soul which you have given me. So I'm there. And you've given me another soul. What's the other soul? The divine soul.
Are they supposed to integrate? Or is one supposed to have dominion over the other? Or?
Well, it's interesting. On one level, they conflict. Yeah. And at that level of conflict, you want the divine soul to be running the show.
Okay.
But there's another level where the divine soul fits like a glove, fits into the animal soul like a glove, and you want the animal soul to be trained to fit in with the divine soul, and more than that, that it should bring its own positive qualities so that it can all be used in service of the divine.
The whole thing just integrates.
Yes,
yeah.
You see, and that's called, the ultimate of that is what's called transformation. That the negativity of the animal soul is removed, is dissolved away. And then you have a tremendous energy which comes from the animal soul, but now it's being used for good instead of for bad. So we all have enormous energy for good if only we could reveal it within us. So there we have this quality, that there's the person himself, kiim b'tzadikim, in tzadikim, there it's a different situation. Shevehem leheifach, in them it's the other way around. Sheneshama tahora, because in them the pure soul, sheinav shalaki, is the divine soul, who are Adam, that's the person. V'gufom nikro basar Adam, and their body, they're like strangers to their body. They are strangers to the material aspect of their existence. It's not dominant in their minds. They have to remember that they have to eat, for example. It doesn't automatically, their body doesn't drag them and say, oh, come on, you're hungry, you're hungry, you're hungry. Their body doesn't say that. What their body says to them is, let's learn a bit more Torah. Let's daven a bit more. Let's do another mitzvah. So, they have to remember, Uchamayme Hillel Azokin the Talmidov, as Hillel, the great Rabbi Hillel, said to his students, Kushahoyo Hoylech Lecho, when he used to go to eat, Hoyoime, he would say, Shohoylech Ligmol Chesed Imo Aluva, let's go and be nice to the Aluva Vania, the poor one. Let's go and give a little bit of charity, so to speak, to the poor one. Who is the poor one? Who gufo, his body. That's how he thought about his body, as something that we have to look after, but no one's been taking any notice of it. And he was saying that as an example to his students, that they should understand what should be the relation of the person to their physical self and their spiritual self. You see, in the spiritual self, when the spiritual self is dominant, for the most part, the animal dimension of the person also is in balance. When the physical self is dominant, then it puts the spiritual self out of balance. But when the spiritual self is dominant, then, as we see over here, you see the spiritual self makes time.
Can you just say, it's like the parent and the child. It's self-control. It's knowing, because otherwise it's like the child. In Chinese medicine, that's actually they say that the emotions of the children, and is it the organs of the parents? Senses, I can't remember, but it's having that self-control where that emotiveness doesn't
take control,
and then everything is, but that doesn't mean control,
doesn't mean damping it, doesn't mean squashing it, but it means channeling. So it is a very delicate, very interesting balance. And the very fact that Hillel notices that his body needs food, and he gives it food, and he's telling his students the same thing, means that when the spiritual dimension is dominant, we're actually able to look after everything in the right way. The problem is when the physical is dominant, the physical tends to blot out the spiritual. It doesn't notice it at all. You know, people don't you know, the body does not automatically want to do something spiritual. The soul does, but the soul can be very much suppressed within the structure of the person. Whereas if we're able to get a healthy balance, you see, and this also, I mean, it could be that a person would embark on a path which crushes their body. Now, that is not the Chabad path. See, there would...
For instance, when you say...
Well, I'm not talking about people abusing their body for the sake of some kind of ecstatic kick.
Speaking about in a spiritual way.
But in a spiritual way, people used to fast a lot, for example. They used to fast a great deal, feeling that this was a way to make themselves more spiritual. And, you know, you could say, well, it's true, you know, if a person fasts, they feel, you know, more spiritual. We have like Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
But they would fast a lot of extra fasts. And they thought that that was a way to be more spiritual. And when the Baal Shem Tov revealed himself as the leader of the Hasidic movement, one of the things he taught was not to fast overmuch. And he wrote a letter, which still exists, where he writes to one of his followers, you know, to be careful about fasting. You think fasting is a very holy pathway, but in fact it's ambiguous. And it's not.
It can be harmful, maybe.
Well, it can be harmful physically, but even worse, it can be harmful spiritually. It can make the person very proud that they're fasting. It can have all kinds of negative effects.
Mm.
But you see, that could be seen by a person as a way of
atoning, or some kind of self-control. Something.
Yeah. Now, what Hasidism teaches, particularly Chabad Hasidism, is that the way forward is to channel our energy rather than to crush our energy, right?
Yes.
And it's by channeling things, by doing things in a nice way, and doing it with a good purpose, that it's a Torah purpose, a proper Jewish, a healthy Jewish purpose, that is something which is more positive. Okay, so... He v'lechein oma ki kemoiza nechshav atzlo, because for Hillel his body was like something secondary, like something foreign almost. V'lechein oma, therefore he said shu goymel chesed imoy, that he's going to do kindness with his body, b'mashem achiloy, by the fact that he's going to give it to eat. Ki hu atzmoy, because he himself felt himself rak nefshe lekis levad, just the divine soul. Because it was simply from the divine soul that he was really focused on in terms of making his body live and his flesh live. Because the bad which was in his vital soul, his animal soul, which was enclosed in his physical self, in his blood and his flesh, Nishapech l'toiv, had been transformed into good, v'nichlal b'kedushas nefesh elokis, and had been included in the spirituality of the divine soul mamash, b'tzadikim, in the tzadikim. So therefore, the tzadik is someone who lives purely on a spiritual level, because even the animal soul has been transformed into something spiritual. Whereas with the Beinoni, that's not the case. The Beinoni is someone, Avul Beinoni, in the ordinary person. Since the very essence of the animal soul, from the other realm, which is enclosed in his blood and his flesh, it hasn't been transformed into good. So therefore, we have the situation that it's the animal soul, he Adam Atzmai. It's the animal soul which is the person. And therefore, it's his animal soul which is dominant in his consciousness. And next time, hopefully, we will be exploring that, the situation of a person for whom the animal soul is dominant in their consciousness.
About people's instincts, really, survival instincts and all of that.
Well, you see, survival instincts are something which is very necessary when one is trying to survive. And even then, that's a question. But in ordinary life, we have to be something a little bit higher than a survival instinct. And even in really desperate situations, like people who are in a concentration camp, it's not just a matter of survival. There's another dimension as well. And that's what you see in the memoirs of some people who went through the concentration camp with tremendous, tremendous horror and grief and everything. But at the same time, it wasn't only their own survival that mattered. It was the ability to help another person. That's what we have to aim for.
Are they
both
no longer here?
Are
they both no longer here, or one of them continues to be here?
No, they're both no longer here. But they're
on
different levels.
Why do we have two?
Why do we have two? Because one is the divine input, and the other one is our... You know, one is just to keep us alive like a person, and one is...
Oh, I have to be very careful that
she leaves
that place.
It's a Jewish community centre. I mean,